Welcome back in to David L. Gray, Off Code, Unscripted, on St. Dominic's Media. I want to have this conversation with you in light of some of the conversations that people are having about the Shroud of Turin, the purported or perhaps likely burial cloth of Jesus Christ. When I was becoming Catholic, from Protestantism, my biggest stumbling block in believing what Catholics believed was the Holy Eucharist. This idea that Catholics were saying that I read that the communion bread actually becomes, at the point of consecration, the actual flesh of Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth flesh. It becomes his flesh to eat. And that the communion wine actually becomes his true blood. Now, it was clear from my reading from scriptures that Jesus was always, this was a literal teaching. In all of the Passover meal accounts and all the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke is all there. Jesus says this, and he's being literal. He never says it's a metaphor. He never says he's speaking allegorically. He never calls it a parable. That's clear. It's also clear in John chapter 6. It's clear in 1 Corinthians. It's clear in early tradition of the Catholic Church, from Justin the Martyr to Irenaeus to on. For the first 1,100 years of the church, it seems like the only theological argument that was taking place was not that it was actually Jesus Christ, but whether it was consubstantiation, that is, Jesus is with the bread and the wine, or that it's transubstantiation, that he truly is the bread and wine. That seems to be the theological argument, but whether it was actually what Jesus said it is, that it is truly his flesh and blood, was never a point of contention. I haven't really made the connection yet with the Passover from Exodus, when Jesus says that they are to eat this Passover meal perpetually. He says perpetually, God says perpetually three times, which gives you an idea that he meant forever. Right? And so I didn't yet connect how Jesus fulfilled that in himself. Whereas God said, you are to eat this Passover meal, eat this lamb forever, celebrate your Exodus. And how Jesus fulfilled it in himself. He is the Lamb of God, and we eat him, right? And we do this again in an amino of me, is what the Greek says. And so I had to make that connection between the two. And perhaps it would help me if I had. But it really wasn't a theological issue that I struggled with that made it a stumbling block. Because I recognize that God is God. If God wants to say, this is my body, this is my blood, this bread and this wine, fine, he's God. God can make an entire universe. God can make a rock talk, a donkey talk. He's God. God can do what God does. That's fine. I wasn't arguing with God, being God. No. The struggle that I was having was with God being merciful. I couldn't accept how God could be that merciful with us, that he can make salvation that easy. That all we have to do is we can have eternal life by eating his flesh and drinking his blood. That's how we get eternal life, really. It seemed to be too simple, more simple than water baptism, really. I can be cleansed of humanity's original sin by just pouring some water over me and saying, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, really, God, you're making it that easy. And I think that had a lot to do with my background as a Freemason. All the year, the decade I spent in Freemasonry, and I understood that if I really want to be a better person, a better man, that the work was on me, that I had to figure this out, that I had to do the work. And it wasn't by God and his grace, it was my own human effort. I think that's what I was struggling with, which is different than what the Catholic Church was teaching. The Catholic Church is teaching that, no, the work is not on you, the work is on God. The work is finished. The only thing you're doing, David, is you're cooperating with God, you're partaking in the divine nature. You're sharing in this divine life. You're cooperating with God. That's all you're doing. The work is on you. The work is on Christ. Right? You just have to be obedient and love in a sacrificial way. It just seemed to be too easy for me. I was struggling with the mercy of God. Imagine that. But I think that's real. And I think that's really why a lot of people don't go to confession as they should. I think we struggle with the mercy of God. Like, how can God forgive me? That's real. But what got me over that stumbling block? It was the Eucharistic miracles. I have read this book by Joanne Carroll called Eucharistic Miracles. You can hop over to saintdominicsmedia.com. We had a book for sale there, free shipping. I included it in our catalog because I have all the books in our catalog that I think made a profound experience on me, most of them, but that's one. And so I read this book called Eucharistic Miracles, where Joanne Carroll, she goes around the world for the past 2,000 years, and she documents all the times when the bread had truly become real flesh, at Mass, or that when the wine had truly become human blood at a point of consecration, at Mass, or sometime after. And all these other strange miracles just associated with the Holy Eucharist. And that's what really got me over the edge. Not because this is a theological argument, but rather because this resolved the issue of God's mercy for me. Because I discovered that not only is God merciful, what the Eucharistic miracles taught me that God is magnanimous. He's merciful and magnanimous. Like, his magnanimity is as deep as the ocean, as St. Faustina said. That he's just overly gracious with his love. I don't know quite understand how magnanimity resolved mercy for me, but it did. Wow, God loves us. That's what the whole Eucharist is saying. God loves you. God is being merciful with you. But then what the Eucharistic miracles say, proof is the proof that God is being merciful. He's being gracious. He's being loving. But the Eucharistic miracles are saying that he's going extra. He's going overboard in a way that only God can do. And so that resolved the issue I was having with his mercy, God proving that he's extra mercy. That was just phenomenal to me. And it was moving to me. And it caused me to believe in the Holy Eucharist. And this is when I was still in the process of converting. I think I was still going through what's called a rites of Christian initiation at that time. This is back in 2006. Like, wow. So that was the point where everything changed for me. Eucharistic miracles. And I think for all people who don't believe, whether they're Protestants, whether they're people, whether they're atheists, I think this is Eucharistic miracles themselves are a stumbling block for people because there's no way to respond to them, right? Because they're real. And I found that people make illogical responses to Eucharistic miracles. You know, Catholics say, well, yeah, we believe that in the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, that this is truly his body, blood, soul, and divinity. But Eucharistic miracles are saying we not only believe it, but we can prove it. How do you respond to that? I find that people try to respond to it with doubt, which is an illogical response to something real. Now, if it wasn't real, if we could not prove that it's real, that was fine. Protestants will say, you're just saying it. That's just your faith, right? Because faith is the evidence of things not seen, according to Hebrews. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Not seen. Catholics aren't saying that. Catholics are saying, we see it. We've seen it. We have the proof. We have the evidence. You can respond to things you have seen with doubt. It's sort of like pineapple pizza. I remember the first time I heard that, somebody was telling me, hey, people, you go, hey, you want pineapples on your pizza? Like, who puts pineapples in their pizza? I never heard of that. That sounded ridiculous. I doubted it. I said, no one does that. No one puts pineapples on their pizza. People aren't just walking around doing insane things like that. You don't put, the only fruit that you put on pizza is tomatoes. But even tomatoes, people know you don't put a tomato, even though tomatoes are fruits, you don't put tomato in fruit salad. There's just certain things you don't do with fruit. That's one. Put pineapples on pizza. Until I saw it, I said, wow. Now, I could no longer doubt at that point. I can no longer doubt and say, oh, nobody would do that. Nobody would put pineapples on a pizza. What I could do, I could say, well, that's insane. That's wrong. Right? That's not proper behavior. That's not what you do to a fruit. That's fruit blasphemy. I could say stuff like that. But I could no longer doubt because I saw it. I saw the evidence. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Once you see it, you can no longer doubt. But this is the Protestant or the non-believer dilemma. What do you do with Eucharistic miracles? You can't do anything with them but believe. I find that to be so profound, so moving, and so merciful and magnanimous that God does this for us, the Eucharistic miracles. Now, for some people, I know it's the Shroud of Turin, the purported, maybe likely, burial cloth of Jesus Christ. I've never been a Shroud of Turin guy. You've never seen me even make a video about it, write an essay about it. I've never done anything with the Shroud of Turin. I don't. I think there's enough evidence out there, scientific, biological, historical, to suggest that it most likely is, right? I do have just personal stumbling blocks when it comes to these images that people put on top of the Shroud of Turin and say, oh, this is what Jesus Christ, based on the Shroud of Turin, this is what Jesus Christ probably looked like. And these images they come out with never looks like a person, a Jewish person from 2,000 years ago. They never do. Never do. It always comes out looking kind of modern, looking like a modern European or maybe an Egyptian modern. And we know that for the past 2,000 years, there's been so much intermarriage, so many conquests, so many invasions that people don't look like what they used to look like 2,000 years ago. They're taller, right? Egyptians nowadays, they have freckles. They didn't have freckles 2,000 years ago. So it's just the images people associate with the Shroud of Turin just annoy me because I'm big on historical accuracy. All right. But I recognize that it could be Jesus Christ. But the problem is that the Shroud of Turin could also be someone else. It could be. It could be. Not such the case with Eucharistic miracles. Eucharistic miracles can never be anyone but Jesus Christ because that's who the Holy Eucharist is. There's just a certainty about Eucharistic miracles that compel people that you have to believe if you investigate. And in fact, the Holy Eucharist is why you have to be Catholic. It's the most unique thing in the entire universe, the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. Catholics are saying that God comes to Mass. He truly comes, body, blood, soul, and divinity. If you want to see God, you doubt God, you haven't seen God, you're going to see Jesus Christ, come to Mass. He's right there. Look. That's how merciful, that's how magnanimous God is. He just visits Mass. Like, hey, I'm here. I want to commune with you. And then he enters our body. This is crazy. And so I really think that's our greatest points of evangelization. It's not about the preaching. It's not about the music. It's not about the 20, 22 different forms of our liturgies that still work. It's not that. It's God. God truly comes to the Mass. He visits us personally, whatever liturgical preference that you have. I find that to be, I don't really think there's words to truly articulate how awesome this truly is. But yeah, that was my turning point when I realized that I had to become Catholic. Well, it's probably really not the point of really I had to become Catholic. I should talk about that. I'm gonna make a video about that. Like that turning point where you realize, oh man, I gotta become Catholic. I'll make a video about that. But this was more like I have no reason not to believe. Right? If the Catholic Church is right about this unique thing that no one else believes, if they're right about this, they have to be right about everything else they dogmatically teach. And so that was that authority piece that as relates to dogma and what the church teaches sacramentally, that compelled me to just dive in head first and never look back, because God proved to me through the sacrament of Holy Eucharist and him being magnanimous and merciful and demonstrating to us for the past 2,000 years that, yeah, I said what I said. I said what I said. So this is David O. Gray, Off Code, Unscripted on St. Dominic's Media. I'll catch you guys in the next one. But until then, until next time, blessings and shalom to you and to yours.